blood in my pants. Mama yelling at the window, come and eat your yams. Supper time, I'm hungry, I've been waiting for my chance. I've been washing my hands all my life, bro. I've been washing my hands every day. I've been washing my hands all my life. Now it's time to eat.
Well, there you go, Sean. How's that?
That was amazing. wasn't it washing his hands?
Yes.
Because it was dinner time?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Kids, come up, wash your hands, because we're going to have dinner. Yeah. Anyway, got news for you.
Oh, do you? Alrighty, it's 7 o'clock. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Part two, hour two.
Hour two.
The continuation.
Yeah, more fun.
Well.
Yeah, more snotty-nosed res kids with fun.
More snotty-nosed res kids.
Well, we'll have to play more.
No. That'll be all right. We can do that.
Yeah. This hour, we have a couple of really interesting things coming up. I got another story for you from Joseph.
No way.
Yeah, and we're going to share that one a little bit. But one of the things that's we've been working on for quite a while, quite a few years, kind of like what you're looking at right now on your computer, outdoors activities.
Outdoors activities.
Now,
like my activities, Doug?
Yep.
You want to know mine?
Yep. Snowshoeing, hiking, traveling across good land.
I go out the front door and walk to the car.
Yeah.
Then I drive.
Oh, man.
Then I stop. I get out of the car and walk to the next, to the
event.
Door to go inside. I know it may be a little different than what you like doing out there.
I like doing everything you're talking about except the
car. You like the car?
I like the car, but in the summertime, gets me further away.
It is a good time out driving,
skiing,
out driving in the
ice fishing.
No, although it's probably pretty good right now.
Oh, you know how thick that ice is? In many of the lakes right now where the good fishing is, you have to bore right down probably this far.
So that's like safe.
It's safe to walk on. Yeah. Unless you're close to where there's running water underneath it. Yeah.
And you're,
but yeah.
Like you said, this far, and you like people can't see you at home.
Well, I can tell you
it's about a foot and
it's more
change.
Than it's more than 35 centimeters.
It's about a foot. Maybe like 15 inches.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I want to go back to what we're going to talk about.
I was going to mention something, but then I forgot.
Oh.
So.
All right.
Skating.
All right.
Skating. Canal. So is it all like ready to go?
It's open again. Yeah.
It's open, ready to go.
In fact, you could probably go online.
Hey, can we go to the online camera to look down at
what's
skaters. That one called?
Here? It's called Rideau Skateway.
Rideau Skateway.
Yeah. Rideau, R-I-D-E-A-U.
R-I-D?
Yep. R-I-D-E-A-U. Skateway. And you should get.
Alrighty then.
There you go. And so the Skateway was open before. Yep.
Okay, so there you go. That's them skating out there.
You've got. Look. Samples of skating on
so
the.
So this isn't the live stuff, though. I wanted the live stuff.
No, that's at the recording.
No,
yeah.
From down here in the.
That's different. That you mean City Hall?
Yeah, that one.
This is Rideau. This is the canal.
Yeah,
City
so you
Hall
can go
is
there.
Just a skating rink.
Now, how much does it cost to go and skate on the canal?
Zero.
What?
Zero.
It's
well,
free.
Actually, most of the cost really is in buying.
Hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
Coffee.
Oh, and?
And, of course, the beaver tail.
Yeah.
Now, when I was there, mm-hmm. when I used to live in Ottawa, and I lived there like I was, I had no real, control over my where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
They were just coming in, and it was like that was the these people here, they're gonna do this. Beaver tail thing. I'm like, oh, you want a beaver tail? They would say it to me. I'm like, I don't know.
It looks just like bannock with lots of sugar
so
on it.
So it turns out I did.
Oh.
Turns out I did want a beaver tail. And they are quite tasty. But they only had the one, right?
Oh, like, is that
that's
right
all
now?
You get. You get the beaver tail, and it's cinnamon, sugar,
yeah,
and I think butter.
Mm. Oh.
That's all you get. That's okay. All you get. Back in the day,
what can you
and
get
a hot
now?
Chocolate, like it's like a telephone book menu.
Ooh,
menu like
that tells
as
you
thick
how
as
long I've
book.
Been
yeah.
since I was there for that.
We know why you don't go, Doug. But now it's like this multinational. No, yeah, national, multinational delicacy. Across Canada.
It is.
Yeah. Is it not?
I don't know.
Yeah, they got one here.
Yeah, there's a whole
like
shop
there's a
right
store.
Across.
It's a store.
Right
it's the Beaver
the,
Tail store.
Yeah.
Shop.
Right across from the City Hall ice rink.
Yeah. Some say that's why they put it there.
If you so you don't want to see the canal.
No,
really.
I want to see the live.
Okay, so go to
live stream of
the Market Square camera.
Market Square.
Yeah, and you can find anything on the computer.
Nope, you can't.
What? Market Square website.
Webcams. There we go.
There you go.
So they got the Zambonias out there.
Oh, okay. We'll pop it up so you
I'm
can
trying.
See it. There. Wow, is that ever beautiful?
That's pretty
nighttime
neat.
View of downtown
mm-hmm.
Kingston.
And there's some people going into that place.
Oh,
right there.
The one with the red
yeah.
on it?
Yeah. Going right in there.
Looks just like a beaver tail.
Yeah. Anyways, they got all kinds of places all over the place.
I am so glad that you did this tonight because I
that?
Can see that it looks like a hockey arena. The boards in their netting or glass.
Don't they have
each
that
end.
All the time?
No. Most of the time I've gone skating down there at City Hall.
Maybe they want to charge you to.
No, they don't want to charge
how
you.
How much does it cost now?
There's a weekend coming
up boards.
Where they actually have hockey.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's 3-on-3 or 4-on-4.
It's like the old-timers or something?
I don't know what it is.
Are you going to be playing?
I don't know what it is. I don't go and play hockey there. I go skating on it.
Uh-huh.
The ice must be perfect this year. Look at that.
That guy driving around.
Yeah. But, skating at the City Hall is really great. They turn the lights down and off around 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you can skate till about that time, and then they.
Well, you could skate in the dark.
No,
you can't.
No, they
tell lock
you,
it.
They just say no, you can't.
Is that light? That's
looks like
that's light.
Light
that's being projected onto.
But
the screen.
I've been out there and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there.
Cold
skaters.
Weather. Yeah. Cold weather, warm weather, doesn't matter.
I want to
start this off because it's about it's almost 10 after 7, Sean.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you leaving?
I hopefully soon.
Looks like it crashed on you.
No, it's here someplace.
we've been talking for a number of years now, probably since the early 1990s. Here on Aboriginal Voices about land-based learning,
mm-hmm.
about Indigenous knowledge, and or a holistic approach to getting out and learning on the land? Well, I found several documents that relate to young learners. And I look at this and think, young learners, they don't have to be really young in age, just new to a topic or a subject or language learning or, in fact, getting outdoors and being part of the forest therapy projects. So what we're going to do is for the next several weeks is we're going to explore this whole idea around land-based learning and get ideas from people who have actually been out doing this, A, with their own children or with their families and that sort of thing. But holistic learning for early childhood is really, it can deeply enrich Indigenous knowledge learning if you think about what it is that you're going to be doing outdoors, because it's, you know, these things are really in linked to play. So what mm-hmm. we're going to talk a bit about today and next week and the week after is about the whole idea of having community-rooted wisdom from people who have been part of taking their young people out to work and to play and to use things. So what you end up doing is looking at cultural values, traditional teachings, and sort of community-related wisdom. But the materials that they're suggesting are materials that can be woven together for storytelling or sensory play, making emotional connections. Also, the dealing with environmental understanding. Basically everything that you just think about all your teachings in your lifetime and, looking at environmental understanding, it's key. So one of the things to, I guess the key aspect of all of this work is land-based learning. That means getting out and being part of where you live.
Okay.
You don't have to do what I do, and that's get out there and go to a new set of woods or travel to places that are, granite and lakes or fields and forest or fields and ponds. You don't have to do that. You could just use your own backyard or a park down the road or, even if you don't, like you, take the car, park it along the road somewhere safely. Get out and walk on the road. The roadsides have lots to learn from.
Okay. Such as?
Well, how hard is it to walk in a ditch in the wintertime? Put snowshoes on. You'll find out, Sean. Do you know anybody with snowshoes?
I don't want to walk in the ditch.
Yeah, well, it's safer than walking on the road.
Whether it be in the summer or winter, yeah. It's just not my thing.
Anyway, one of the things that, and also bringing samples back with you from where you've been. So wooden, things that are wood or stone or fur or shells.
Bring that stuff back.
You can bring it back.
Maybe
home.
Just look
not
at it.
Not a lot of it, just some of it, because you can use it to stimulate a conversation or do storytelling later in the day or the week.
What'd you bring this for? You could have left it out there.
Yeah, well, we'll take it back. Do you remember where it was?
Outdoors, somewhere.
More environmental awareness. Yeah.
I don't know.
How do I get back to where I brought it and picked it up? You like taking trips on trails. You've mentioned them over time.
I have. We have. And we've gone out and, walked on trails. And, it is enjoyable.
One of the projects that I've done in
the past. It's not like a billion degrees hot.
No, any time of the travel time.
Yeah. I don't like the billion degrees hot kind.
No, and you don't like the minus numbers either.
I can handle those.
Okay. I just don't like it when there are black flies and mosquitoes.
Oh, I definitely don't like those.
Okay.
Gosh, Doug.
Yeah.
I hate walking.
Anyway, when I was first working with young learners, that I found that taking them out on trails, you know, you take 25, 30 kids out mm-hmm. at a time, and you bring parents along with you to make it so that you got small groups going on a trail. One school I was where I was teaching kindergarten, grade one, and grade two age kids. And we took them out to the Cataraqui Conservation Authority's area near uh-huh. the pond.
Now that's the one on
Division and 401. Right there. And the very first trip, all those youngsters, every one of them, all they did was get on the trail and run. You know, they just
run.
They would run.
I remember
and,
running.
You know, controlling that is a bit of a challenge. So I came up with this robin's egg blue colored material, and I made bags, and we called them trail stoppers. Okay. Each bag had something in it, but the idea, I would set them up so on a section of the trail, there would be, if there are five people in the group, there'd be five different trail stoppers along the route. So if you want to run, that's fine. You run out, you run back, you can run out, but don't go past the next trail stopper.
Otherwise?
Well, because we're
all going to be trouble?
No, because the whole group's going to stop there to find out what's in it.
Okay. Detention. There'll be detention.
No detentions. Not out there.
So were these bags? They were plastic?
No. They were cloth. They were material.
Cloth bags.
I made them.
You really jumped on that one, didn't you?
Yeah. I made them. They weren't plastic. They were material from, what's the name of that place?
Pretty sure when you started the story, it was plastic bags.
No, I didn't say plastic. I said they were they're robin's egg blue material that I picked up.
Oh, did you say that? Oh,
and I made these bags.
Forgive me.
And yeah, that will. I know you just wanted to get plastic in there. But the fun part is...
Bring the straws back. Plastic straws for everyone.
All the straws are out there. Have you ever found out what it's like when you take a goldenrod stem?
Oh.
There you go.
Wooden straw.
So I take my bag, and I, you know, one spot, for example, it means I have to go spend time on the trail within the week of before the hike. But one spot I found milkweed pods.
Uh-huh.
And so I got a milkweed pod from somewhere else and brought it with me and put it in the bag and then would hang it there. And the idea is that you, the leader, the adult in the group, along with five kids, one of each of those people gets to pick and hold the bag, take it off the wherever it was hooked up and open it up, but you can't pull it out yet. You can't tell me what it is, but you can put your hand in, and I guarantee there's nothing that's going to bite you or hurt you.
Oh, good.
Okay. And then you put your hand in, and you touch it, and you try to tell me what you're sensing, shape, size, soft, smooth, that, you know, just trying to build in language.
Sticky, gooey.
No,
I tried to keep
not to have sticky stuff in there because then I'd have to clean the bag. But you know, it was a milkweed pod.
Okay, and then I get what you're saying. So like, they don't get to see it.
Pulls it out, they get to see it.
They don't get to see. Oh, they pull it out and get to see it.
Yeah, that individual is in charge of showing everybody, and then the whole group is to stand and turn, not to move, just stand and turn on the spot. Why would that be in there? Why would that little pod be in that bag? And you look around and you find.
Oh, you can look around
and
then you see the old.
Yeah, there's something there. Yeah. Another one that I did one trail was different type of cones, you know, from trees, not the sticky ones. Fur. There was rabbit.
Fur.
Yeah, there was rabbit fur once on the trail, and I thought, "Ooh, perfect!
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And you know what? There's signs of rabbits.
Can I have a stick to touch that one?
No. Yeah. Oh,
I don't want to touch it with
the fur, yes. No
maybe
problem.
Some rubber gloves.
Anyway, so, you know, basically exploring with materials is really important for these kids, okay?
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And not just, I know you're having fun
with
me.
You.
Yeah. But my guest now is all set to go.
Is it?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kristen and I sat down to chat. And this is wintertime. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's going to tell us about working with her boys.
Y'all her set? Boys, like her own boys?
Her own boys. Yeah.
Okay.
There. She'll tell you.
Not her teacher, like she's not a teacher.
No. No.
Okay.
Kristen, welcome back to Aboriginal Voices.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be back.
We're going to talk a little bit about going outdoors in the winter. And, you know, it's easy to talk about clothing and when you need to stay warm. And if you're going out by yourself, you know what you're going to do. If you're going out with a small group of kids like your own children or some friends have come over, just focusing on what's there and remembering some people listening are already live in the woods. Mm-hmm. Some are on farms, some are in communities where they have land around them, and others are living in apartments or single homes in mm-hmm. a city.
Right.
So we're gonna kind of give something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your favorite activity, just if you go outdoors yourself?
I just like to walk. So walks have always kind of been my thing, and when I'm by myself, it's nice because I can choose my own path, and I don't have to worry about if the snow's too deep for the kids or if the dog's going to get tangled in some brush, and I can just walk and, you know, observe what I observe and, you know, think and just feel lighter. And I feel like it's kind of journaling for a lot of people. A lot of people journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I walk, and it does the same sort of thing for me. It feels like life untangles a little bit by the time I get back home from my walk. So that's what I like to do.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. In the winter, you know, we get nice sunny days. You mm-hmm. get overcast days. You get snowy days. You get the wind and snow.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you cope with all of those? You like walking in each of those kind of weather events in the winter?
I think so. I mean, I prefer the sunny days. They definitely feel lighter and warmer. But I've been out with, you know, snow blowing in my face as well. It still accomplishes the same thing for me.
Mm.
Yeah. The movement is really good, and just that connection with nature. So even if I'm not really anticipating a change, it happens, you know.
You're doing your observation of what's around you in the environment as you go, but it's sort of into it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had somebody ask me one time how I connect with nature and de-stress. Like, do I step on grass in my bare feet, or, you know, what is it? And for me, it's very visual. So I'm sure I pick up on the sounds of nature as well. But for me, you know, the last time I was out, I saw a little archway into the woods, a little trail, and it was all freshly snowed, and it was beautiful. And I walked in, and then the woods got kind of like gnarly and tangly. And when I turned around, it didn't have the same view on the way out. But the way in, the view was so nice, I went back to the beginning again, just so I could see it and walk through it one more time.
Okay.
So just the different scenery, the way the snow hangs on the trees, or the different pathways or footprints in the snow, whatever it is, it's very, the visual sense, you know, scenes, and just, they really just do something sort of intuitively to me, just sort of recharge me. But it's just like the different observations visually, I think, probably some sound in there too. Not so sure about like touch. I don't think I'm doing a lot of touching in the winter. You know, you have gloves on and the toques and scarves. But yeah, the visuals are really important to me.
And so when you're walking, you know, I plan
to walk on the snow at different temperatures to get the sounds of the snow.
Okay.
Do you do that or intentionally, or have you part of the sounds that come with being out and walking in the woods or walking in a field?
I think I'll have to pay more attention to sounds. Yeah, I think I walk the path of least resistance, to be honest.
Oh, okay. You don't take the new path, right? Right, so you're not like Sally when she goes walking with me. Sally's our dog, and so she goes for a little while, bounding through the snow on her own, and then I'm out walking on my snowshoes, and the next thing I know, I look behind me, and that's where she is,
following me. Your trail. Well, there's usually tractor trails all through the property, and I try to stick to those because they're easier. And the one time I went out, and they weren't there, and I didn't really realize it at first. I didn't realize how deep the snow was. The snow was over my boots, and I didn't have snowshoes, so that was a shorter walk. But it probably took me just as long as as usual because I didn't realize that there just weren't trails there, and it was going to be more difficult.
Mm. I was just thinking about the sounds, and that's why I asked about the sounds. I go and sounds at zero or minus one, the snow is different texture to it, so I get a different sound with my outdoor boots. And if I go at minus 10, I get the sounds, a different kind of a crunchy sound.
Okay.
And minus 18, I know I better cover up all the places that my hands and my face and that sort of thing,
right.
And my earlobes, because it's getting cold and the crunchy sound is really sharp. And if you get into the minus 20s, it's even more striking how different it is from zero or minus one.
Right.
And I'm lucky because I have a beard, and so. But it also is, you know, here's my danger zone. When I'm breathing outdoors and working in it, and you know, my mustache will frost up, or around my mouth it'll frost up. And if it's hard ice, the danger is this is too cold. Be careful.
You know? Right.
So I look around. If people are with me, then I check on everybody. Mm-hmm. Make sure they ventilate the heat from their bodies, or zip their coats back up if they're starting to get cold.
Right.
No exposed skin. There's that sort of barrier between minus 18 and minus 21.
Right.
That it'll happen. But I've skied in different places and hiked and snowshoed, and that's what I look for when I get out there. But it's because I've been playing with that when I was younger.
Okay.
Right. What I'm curious. What's the sound? And when you mentioned about being. What looking at the snow hanging off the trees. So what comes to mind when you think of the snow hanging off the trees?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm not really... I haven't done a lot of observations on necessarily what that's telling me. I think I just enjoy the beauty of it. But I was thinking about your sounds and wondering why I haven't paid as much attention to sounds before. But I think... I have long hair that covers my ears, and then I wear a toque. And so even when I'm speaking to the children, you know, I'm always asking them to repeat themselves, or I have to uncover my ears. So maybe I'm just not hearing as many sounds as you are in the wintertime.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, and the different humidity levels, also the sounds transmit better in higher humidity. Yeah, that's interesting. Now, going through trees... And around trees, do you look at the now away from the snowy part, but the life of the trees and what's around the trees in the winter?
I've been looking at the barks of trees because you know, the leaves really help identify a tree, but in the winter you don't have those unless there's a few still hanging on. I find oaks quite often have a few leaves still hanging on. So I enjoy that. You know, the shagbark hickory is always an easy one to identify with the bark. But also, I think I've mentioned before on the show that we have a lot of black cherry. And so I really enjoy identifying that because I find the bark is almost like scales. And so that's what I spend a lot of time looking at, to see if I can identify the trees through the bark in the wintertime.
Hmm. Or which trees the squirrels are spending a lot of time, and then you'll know what kind of nuts are in the ground around them?
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yep. Sometimes if I need help, I'll dig around the snow and see if there's any evidence of seeds or cones. Mm-hmm. But, and also in the winter, sometimes it's hard to tell if a tree is still alive.
Mm.
Right? So in the summertime, it's the tree that doesn't have any leaves. But in the wintertime, none of them have leaves. So how do you tell if it's dead or... you know, if it's just hibernating, I don't know. So.
Well, so you'll go back to the same place. That'll be one for our spring chat. You know, go back to the same place and find out, you know, if there are any buds on it. Yeah,
because even with the black cherry I've been observing, they all look dead to me in the wintertime. Mm. And some of them might be, but I know because I was there, you know, in the summertime, that they are, you're very much alive. So I think I'd like to observe more identifiers of whether it's still alive in the wintertime or not.
Do you go out sometimes and plan to dealing with the animals that might be out there other than humans?
Mm-hmm.
So have you done things related to that?
Well, around Christmas time, I took the kids outside to provide a Christmas feast for the animals. And the idea was that we would, take different types of food and come back later and see if there were any footprints where we could identify which animals were around in the woods and came to our feast. So that was a fun activity.
And I guess deciding what types of foods to take.
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan that before you go out, or do you go out and put out different ones and see what's taken?
Yeah, it was kind of what we had, what we thought animals might enjoy, some fruits and nuts and things like that. I think at the time we didn't really sort of last minute decided to go out. We had planned it, but didn't have things prepared, and then it looked like a good opportunity. And I said, let's take what we have. So we went with peanut butter and bird seed. And I had some pine cones collected. So I guess the experiment for us was how to leave the food there. You know, and we had thought about, you know, tying some things in trees and, you know, sprinkling things around or placing it on stumps. But when we were there, we tried to spread it on the pine cones and sprinkle it in bird seed. And then we didn't have anything to, like, tie it up in a tree. So we're like, well, we'll leave a couple on a stump. And what ended up working best was just finding a stick. You know, putting it in the jar of peanut butter, dipping it in the birdseed, and then just standing it straight up in the snow.
Oh, nice.
And when we came back for observations, those were really easy to see because the cones were knocked off the stumps, but the sticks stayed there, and you could just see the footprints of the animals that came to see it. So we'll have to try that again with some different types of food and sort of plan the placement of it. But the stick option ended up working really well for us, so we'll probably do that one again too.
So the boys, that your boys are using prior knowledge with the stick idea, but then they're pretty good at making up new ideas, right?
Yeah.
So they may come up with something else that would be used, so they compare it to one to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so planning. And then you said seeds. Do you know what kind of seeds they had?
I think that was a bag of, like, sunflower seeds, bird seeds.
Okay. Like a wild bird seed mix.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That way you know what's the best one for whatever's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know my chickadees love the sunflower seeds.
Right.
But I was worried because I thought, wow, they come in and take one and go and come back and go. And I watched one chickadee going from a pine tree, not too far away, you know, about 10 meters, fly in, take one, and dart away and put the seed in the bark.
Oh,
In the groove of the bark.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back and get another one, go on a different part of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it did that for 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't I didn't stay still for 15 minutes, so he may have taken more than I thought. But still, it was this one bird taking them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly squirrels that visited ours. I mean, if there were birds, I didn't notice, but we definitely saw lots of squirrel tracks where we had left them. I find another thing that I tend to leave behind is some strands of hair. It was like very long hair.
Yeah.
It always seems to be falling out. And I've left some on the deck before, or sometimes I groom my dog and I leave some because the birds take it and make nests with it. So sometimes that's another, like, I'm not feeding them, but it's another way of sort of providing for them. And I definitely see it gone. And sometimes you see the nests in the trees in the summertime, and there's your hair, and there's the dog hair. And
is that right? Yeah.
So that's another thing to observe.
That's a good idea. I know you mentioned once where you you collected fluff from your dryer at home.
Oh yes.
And you would the lint, you might call it, and stuff it in tubes.
Toilet paper rolls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did that for fire starters for a while.
No, so that's another idea you can take with you when you go out in the woods.
Yeah, drop some lint, dryer lint places and see if it's gone next time, and maybe look for it in a bird nest or a squirrel nest somewhere next time.
Mm. So I don't know if listeners are going to be able to pick up a few ideas from this, but I certainly have two that I'm going to try. I'm going to do my experiment with the different ways of putting peanut butter and seeds out for them, and whether straight up and down, on an angle, maybe even on a branch that's on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
That way I don't look for squirrels, I look for the birds that are coming to it. Yeah. Great ideas.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with us about going out right now and taking kids?
Well, my kids are getting older, and it's a little harder to get them out in the woods. So I sometimes entice them with tobogganing.
Mm.
So, you know, we have to walk to the toboggan hill. So that's their sort of motivation to get out there. But then we can still do our observations along the way and bring the treats with us. So a reward for the animals and a reward for the kids, I guess.
Oh, nice. Hot chocolate, is that a favorite?
Yes, that's a good one for sure. So,
well, I'm going to invite listeners to send in their favorite hot chocolate mix.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
good.
And whether or not, you know, the argument over putting marshmallows in or not.
Mm-hmm. I think it was they had a Christmas play at school, and my children are very shy and they didn't want to be in it, and I didn't force them, but I said if you do, we'll do a gourmet hot chocolate when you get home. And so we had gourmet hot chocolate as a reward. They went through with it, so I think it's a pretty good motivator.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I'll have to get that recipe from you.
Yeah.
Most of my hot chocolate's just chocolate.
Mm.
Yeah. Milk or no milk or cream?
Oh, there's milk and whipped cream and sprinkles and mini chocolate chips. We really had to up the ante on that one.
Oh, I guess. Well, we'll get that recipe and we'll have it for people next time.
Okay.
Kristen, thank you very much. This is great. Next time we talk, hopefully you can tell me a little bit about it, taking things like going snowshoeing and whether or not you really want to do snowshoeing with us or not. But a lot of parents haven't done that, where the kids have been learning to do snowshoeing. So maybe we could talk about it.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shade. I won't be afraid.
the shade. And
find this place. I'm seeing everything a different way. I'm just a hue of who I used to be, with your shadow hanging over me. There's part of me that blames myself for taking so long to climb my way out, but that you are somebody different than camouflaging as a better man. Now I throw paint at the walls again, so I can make some sense of the mess I'm left here with. Just a glimmer of light, showing you colors, now I'm so blue, so blue. Everything in my eyes turns black and white and blue, your favorite shade of blue. Wish I could take back the winter time, took your paintings off the walls, that's fine. I'd rather change this whole apartment than have to keep a piece of you in it. Now I throw paint at the walls again, so I can make some sense of the mess I'm left here with. Just a glimmer of light, show
Tickets are on sale now for Side by Side Union Gallery's annual major fundraiser. Join them on Saturday, February 7th for an evening of live music, artsy activities, and a lottery-style draw where everyone is a winner. Take home a one-of-a-kind artwork and support Union Gallery's nonprofit mission. Come visit the exhibition or check out the online catalog to see the 100-plus works available. Head to uniongallery.ca and get your ticket for Side by Side today.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Vicki Cummings. My grandson is Harley Kohler. Hi, Harley. Surprise, surprise. Today I'm going to read you a legend. I don't have a book to read it from, but it is a Native American legend. It's called The Legend of How the Bear Lost His Tail. Do you know why a bear has a short tail and why sometimes he can be heard growling in the woods for what seems like no particular reason at all? In the beginning, Bear had a long, bushy tail, which he was quite proud of. Bear loved to show off his tail to all the other animals, including Fox. Well, now, Fox loved to play tricks, because that's how foxes are. They're pretty sly and tricky. And one day, he decided to have some fun with Bear. In the winter, The lake had frozen over like it is now, and Fox knew the path that Bear took down by the lake and decided to lure Bear in with some fish. Fox cut a hole in the ice like you would do for ice fishing, and he stacked as many fish as he could next to it. Fox knew Bear loved to eat fish, but so did Fox. Fox didn't want Bear to fish in his spot, so fearing that Bear would eat all the fish up, he decided to play this trick. So when Bear saw that all that fish stacked into a pile next to the hole, he got all excited. He asked Fox to teach him how to catch that many fish. Bear swore he would do everything that the fox had told him because he wanted just as much fish as Fox had. So Fox took the bear to another spot on the lake and cut a hole in the ice. Fox turned to the bear and said to him, "You must put your beautiful bushy tail down into that water to enable to catch the fish." So Fox told Bear he must sit very, very still and very, very quiet, and he shouldn't think of anything at all, just peace and quiet, because the fish could read your thoughts. And then Fox trotted off into the woods in the bushes, and he told Bear, "Now don't you move till I tell you to." And so Fox, being the trickster that he was, started laughing at the bear because he thought the bear was just foolish to sit with this beautiful tail in this fishing hole. Bear did what he was told, and he did not move, and he did not think any thoughts. Fox watched the bear sitting so still. He was laughing and laughing and rolling around on the ground, and soon Fox grew tired of watching the bear, so he went home. The next morning, Fox went back to the lake wondering if Bear had gone home. And it snowed during the night, so when he got out on the lake, he saw this big mound, and there was snow covered over it next to the hole, and he realized the bear was still there, and he still had his tail in the hole. Fox looked at him and he goes, "Now, Bear, now." So the bear jumps up and, oh, he heard this crack and, oh, that really hurt. And his tail was frozen in the hole and it ripped off. And he lost this big, beautiful tail. His beautiful tail was still stuck in this hole. Oh, the bear moaned and he groaned and he was in a lot of pain. And Fox thought it was just hilarious. Well, Bear was not happy, and Bear gave out a big growl. And now, when you hear bears growling in the woods, you know why. Because the bear is mad because he still has that short tail. He doesn't have that big, beautiful, bushy tail anymore. That darn fox, he played an awful trick on Bear, didn't he? Yeah, that was kind of mean. Well, I hope you enjoyed the story. Talk to you later. Bye, Harley.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
Every day you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The charts on CFRC.
It's so hard to define this place. I'm seeing everything a different way. I'm just a hue of who I used to be. With your shadow hanging over me. There's a part of me that blames myself for taking so long to climb my way out. But you are somebody different than camouflaging as a better man. Now I throw paint at the walls again, so I can make some sense of the mess I'm left here with. Just a glimmer of light, showing you colors now. Everything in my eyes.
change this whole apartment, then I have to keep a piece of you in it.
The short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
Broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall. I say, Carruthers, are you all right down there?
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Revolving Door on CFRC 101.9.